Scott, give me 1 minute.
Yeah, no problem.
Maybe
thank you.
okay, I see 1, 2, 3. I think all 5 members are here. Just me. Yeah. Okay, I think everybody ready on this side? Okay. Oh, recording already. Okay, yeah, Scott, you can start when you're ready.
Okay, good. Can I ask everybody on this Zoom to open your video?
Oh, the video.
Okay, good.
Maybe I can move this a little closer. Who's this?
Those guys in our back there?
The loudest the speaker can get.
No, I'm moving closer. Because you don't want to lose the
document. Oh, can you move this?
Hello. I did, yes. Hello.
Yeah, the Law, you still having problems
Ah,
with the
better.
video and with the audio?
Can you hear
Yeah,
me?
I said as close as I can hear. Thank
Can
you.
you hear
No,
me?
not you, Kiki. Law.
Can
I
you hear
can
me?
hear you.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I fixed it. Thank you.
Okay, good. Call this meeting to order. Hawaii Island Burial Council meeting Thursday, October 19, 2023. Board members, staff, applicants, and testifiers can choose to participate either in person at the Division of Forestry and Wildlife Conference Room, 19 East Kauai Street in Hilo, or via Zoom. We'll do the roll call now. I'm Scott Mahoney. I'm representing Kohala, and right now we're really short. So Kohala and Kona. No, I think Kohala and Hamakua. And I was going to
Yeah,
ask
look up the
Lodge,
mic.
which just represent the Kona site too, along with the land guys. Okay, yeah. Next, roll call.
Ako des kau. Aloha kakayaka. Kakou. Next.
Next, Galena.
Aloha. Kalena Blakemore representing Puna.
Aloha, Trey
Draven.
Kotiki representing Hilo.
Okay, and Law.
Law Crivello, large landowner, and Kona.
Yeah, mahalo. Amir, can you bless us with some prayers here?
Oh, yeah, he can all. We started the blessing coming onto Zoom for Ivi Kupuna. Ipulikako, auhea ina maka o kalani, e mali o mai e ni a leo pule. He leo ha. Ahe leo o mai kai no hoi, mai a mako a palekana a puka. Amene.
Amen. Mala, mala this. Okay, everyone had a chance to read the minutes. Anyone want to make a motion to accept the minutes?
I wanted to say there's two typos to correct.
Okay.
Really minor, that's all. It was on page 1, 2, 3. Oh, where is it? Oh, here it is. Inadvertent and archaeological on item B. That's all. And I make a...
Item B on communication. Where are you?
Yeah, inadvertent and archaeological, just a typo.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from September.
Second.
Traven.
Okay, we have a motion by Kalena to accept the minutes and second by Traven. Is that right? Is that you? Okay. I guess any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Raise your hand. Quit eating, Desmond. Okay, the ayes have it. Now on to the business part. I was wondering, Kale, can we combine Parma and Carter? Is that possible? Or do you want to do them separately?
Oh yeah, you guys can buy. You guys can combine if you want to. I would vote to combine. I would make a motion to combine the two and then vote to combine and then vote to approve.
Okay. Well, business item A, descendancy recognition application of Karma M. Sanchez Garcia and Carter K. Lai to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of J. Ioane, Meliana Ioane, Kawai Namuo, and Hali O Pio, located at Papa 1, Aupua, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, parentheses 3-8-8-003:008. Okay, you guys want to tell us why you guys, some information on why you are involved with this? Carmike, you can go first.
Hello, good morning. Yes, so I'm Carter's auntie, and our family has been working on our genealogy for a while now. Several years ago, when I was younger, I always knew there were graves up in this area, that my grandmother was raised there. And when the family started moving to other places, my great-grandmother was the one remaining. And anyway, we became interested in what occurred with the graves. So to cut the story short, we finally found out where the graves were and became assured that those were our family graves. And so I spoke to the person, not to the person whose name is on the plot of land where the graves are located, but I spoke to his daughter, and she encouraged me to have the family claim descendancy on the graves. And as a family, we discussed this and we felt that we wanted to do it to protect any future development of the area and to protect the remains of our ancestors. Thank you. Mahalo.
I was just wondering, is this a cemetery or is this like private land? And are you guys
ownership? The land belonged to my great grandfather. He and my great great grandmother lived there, raised their children there. And then one of their children, in my case, Meliana, she had children. And one of those children was my grandmother, Esther. But yeah, these are on property that was owned by the family that where they lived. No longer belonging to us.
Oh, okay.
Ikchu Wo, whose name appears on the plot of land where the graves are, Ikchu Wo, he purchased the property and I think several adjoining properties from so the property where the house was, where, you know, the family was living and where they buried their children, he bought that property from my great aunt, Minnie Iowane. I have the contract, the sales contract for that, a copy of it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to give input here?
I have a little question. I was just wondering if you have access to the property, and does your family like take annual visits there to Malama, the area, so you can teach all the rest of the children and descendants of the area? And are you allowed access to go and care for the graves?
So the property, the land is, you know, undeveloped. It's and it's just really overgrown. My understanding is that when I first went to see the graves back in the early, I want to say 2000s, to look for the graves, because I actually had to kind of search for them by gathering information that I could get, because my aunties and uncles couldn't even really explain to me where they were. They just said, it's above Miloli'i. It's on this road, like just when you're heading east on the main highway, just past the road that goes down to Miloli'i. There's another road on the left-hand side. It's up in there. And then so I started researching archives and records and thing, you know, and the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the property for TMKs and so on and so forth. I had a quitclaim deed from my dad. And so that gave us some information on it to look for it. Anyway, I went there personally then to try and find the graves. And by good luck or fortune, because where I thought the graves were, it turned out it wasn't there. There were other graves there, but it had nothing to do with my family. It was a different family. And so I actually was out on the road, and a neighbor from the area was driving by. He stopped. He said, "Can I help you? You look like you're lost." And so I said, "Well, I'm looking for my family graves." And I thought they were on this side of the road, but they're not. So he said, "Well, you see this property over here across the way? You call that man that," because there was a sign posted. It's a kapu and then had a number for sale. He said, "You call this man and he will show you. There's graves in there for sure, because when I was a child, I used to help the owner, his cattle would escape and I would have to help him search for the cattle. And so I would run through there and there are graves there." So that was how I called the number that was on the sign for sale, and the gentleman came up, Mr. Loando, he came up. He was the current owner at that time of the property, and he came up and he, you know, cut all the vegetation around, and then I was able to see the names on the stones, on the grave markers. And then I knew that was my great grandmother and her siblings. And so We do go up every now and then. My goal is to keep the place clean. The land is currently owned, in my understanding, by someone who, I don't remember the name. Carter, do you remember the name of the people that own it right now?
I do not remember the name. There has been a lot of turnover on that land. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people seem to just be turning it over, buying, selling, buying, selling. So when we go up there, based on the TMK, there is Mr. Wo, Ikchu Wo, when he carved out that area and registered it so that it would have its own TMK, he did leave like a pathway. My understanding, it's an 11-foot pathway from the plot where the graves are out to the main road, to Papa Homestead Road. However, you know, it's all overgrown. There's a big tree at the very entrance where it connects to the road. And so it's hard for us to get in that way. So we just go in. There's no gate up on the property, the adjacent property. So we just usually go in and, you know, every now and then try to cut away a little bit just so that you can see where the graves are in case any of our Ohana go up there and are trying to look for it, right? But that's not very often because, unfortunately, you know, none of the family really lives on the big island. I mean, Carter, you have your grandfather, yeah, on your dad's side that lives up there. And there's really nobody else. Well, Carter, your grandma lives up there too, right? And where does she live? Up there in north?
Waikoloa.
Waikoloa, yeah. Yeah. But our goal definitely is to be able to take care of the graves and, you know, maintain them.
Do you folks live, Carter and Karma, do you live here on Hawaii Island or do you live somewhere else?
No, we live on Oahu.
Oahu. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's your Iwi Kupuna, but this is a big step you guys have made, being recognized as lineal descendants. So this is a perfect opportunity for putting a template down for the future and starting to rally so this doesn't get forgotten, because this is just the beginning step. And now you need to make sure, like, at least once a year, even if it's a little family reunion, or maybe Carter, your grandmother, she can rally some students, younger people, to say, oh, you guys want this, you know, help us do this stewardship of our cemetery, just to keep it really maintained. Because once you have your foot in the door and you're recognized, you don't want that door to shut. You don't want weeds to grow over your access point. And just to, you know, validate the work that you guys have done to be recognized, to keep it rolling and keep it going. That's really super important that it doesn't get forgotten now that your name is listed as a lineal descendant to the burials. I know it's hard, especially if you live on a different island, but I'm sure there's always ways you can get, you know, students, university, or, you know, groups of people that care about Iwi Kupuna to come and help you. Even if your family doesn't live here, you can try to rally some community members to help you keep it really nice and open. So when new owners buy it, they don't think that you know, they know you are here, that you're not invisible, and that they can do whatever they want. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Thank you so much for that recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point with Kalina brought up, because with lineal or even cultural, there's a lot of kuleana that goes with that. Mm-hmm. You know, just to say you're part of it, but like Kalina said, right now you're only at the beginning part of this whole journey. So, you know, if you malama the site, you care for the site, people know you there, people know the graves are there. Because the way it sounds, you know, ownership has been moving down the line to the next owner. And one day, you know, you're going to have one guy that you're not going to care, you know, or you're not going to even see. He might be overgrown by the time he takes over. So, yeah, that's a real good point with Kalina's made. So
hopefully the dream is to be able to purchase the land, of course. That's
better yet.
That's the dream. Yeah.
How much land is that?
It's a little less than 1 acre. With the graves, it's like 1 acre. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else want to discuss or give information? Okay. Just reading the descendancy recognition application by Karma and Carter has gone to the all of the steps that was needed by Shifty. So therefore, Shifty recommends that the HIBC recognize Karma M. Sanchez Garcia and Carter K. Lai as lineal descendants to these Kupuna, Ivy Kupuna. So, you know, I don't want to make a motion whether to accept or not as lineal.
Before we accept, I make a motion to combine business items A and B into a single item.
I have one more question. Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Good. He froze up.
Oh, yeah, I had a question. My audio was going in and out. I had a question for Karma. Getting problems with it. Is that better?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, you're good. Team.
Okay, I have a question for Karma, and I was going in and out. So you're from Oahu. You have family in Mililii or around that area? Was that question already asked?
It's very distant, you know. I wouldn't say that it would be direct family. There's a family down there called Pico, and apparently one of the brothers from my great aunt's generation, apparently she was married to him, but at one time. So my great-grandmother, Meleana, apparently was married to him, but they had no children, so. My grandmother is actually from another relationship that my great-grandmother Meleana had.
I see. If I heard, I don't know if this question was asked earlier, because you folks are on Oahu, who's going to, you know, malama that site for you folks?
So it was recommended. I'm sorry, I don't remember, don't recall your name, but it was recommended that, not your name, but the person who recommended the council member, Kalena, I think it was.
Yeah, Kalena.
Yes, recommended that maybe what family that we do have on Big Island, maybe they can yearly or so gather together a group of people, or maybe our family from here from Oahu can go up there once a year to clear out the area, so that, you know, the graves are evident and apparent, and just to take care and, you know, take care of the graves, right?
My family is from Mililii.
Oh.
The Kaupikos, the Wailani, the Milikuli. So I'm concerned that.
I know Willie. He was married to my best friend's sister, Anita.
Anita
passed away. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at her ho'olewa at the
Kauai Hau. Yeah. I was there too.
I was playing music there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I just, my question is just that, you know, Ivy Kupuna, some kind of signage, some kind of fencing, some kind of identification that there are Ivy Kupuna there.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, because apparently, if I heard correctly, there's no gates or anything like that. It's just open space right now, yeah?
Well, there is the possibility of putting up a chain, but that would be to the property that is owned by someone else. So I cannot do that, right? We are fortunate enough that usually when we go there, there is no blockage to the property and we're able to get in through that piece of land to access the graves, because the graves are actually has its own TMK, right? Because fortunately, the person who bought it from my great aunt, when he sold the land, he went and registered the graves as a separate TMK. And so his name appears on that parcel, that plot where the graves are.
Well, that's good and well. And I think just to echo Kalena, that's on the Palapala, it's on the paper, yeah? I just want to make sure, because our Kuleana is here to protect our Ivi Kupuna.
Yes.
So, we've crossed this bridge before with other people, with other applicants, and some kind of chain link or no orange fencing, something traditional, and an opportunity to create, you could create a Vahipana there or a Heiau honoring your Puna. And I think that should be, I think Kalena mentioned creating a template. So you're on by coming here and gaining more knowledge, I suggest you get together with the family. I'll be with Willie. Mm-hmm. I'll be Willie this Saturday. If you direct a letter to me, I'll be sure to meet with them and give me the information you have, and then maybe connect the family with you, because it's important to get, because you guys are on Oahu, yeah? We've had similar situations such as this, so we want to make sure that the Ivi Kupuna are protected.
Mm-hmm.
And when people enter this area, regardless of the landowner, like you said, it's already listed. So I think it's important to get together with Ohana Nui, not only Miluli Makai, but Miluli Mauka, also extends to Keho Mauka. That your families get involved and create a Vahipana, a sacred place, identifying your Ivi Kupuna, your ancestors there. And it's not only for people, it's for your Kupuna in training, your children, your Mo'opunas that's not even here, are still in the womb. So I think it's something that you want to look at and create. I represent Kau, so, shoot me a letter. Something introducing yourself, and I'll be sure to deliver it to my uncle. My cousin is the kahu at the church there right now.
Oh,
so okay. to get even the halepule involved, that would be my suggestion.
How would we be able to send a letter to you?
You can
share. Where would we send it?
You can send it through Kia, since is that all right, Kia?
Yeah, I think they've been in touch with Chris. So me or Chris, either is fine. Oh, okay. But I know you guys have been in touch with Chris in the past.
You know, this offer comes through the Burial Council. I want to make sure there's documentation of this offer, and then we can take it from there. But I will mention, I do have the application here in your name, so I'll be sure to... Yeah, I'm with family this weekend down in Milulii. So
I would, we would write a letter to you requesting exactly.
No, what? Introducing yourself.
To oh, the okay.
With your whakapapa, I mean your mo'oku auhau. Just so they can, you need to connect, with families there, because there might be more families involved. Because a lot of the families, there's a lot of Ivi Kupuna Milulii Mauka, Nui Ivi Kupuna, and still yet to be discovered. So way up high up at the forest line. So, but that would be my suggestion to you, to reach out, and I can help you connect with families.
Okay. Mind. So basically, just what we did stated in the descendancy claim, that who we are and that were related to the Ioane Makaha'oles that lived up Mauka.
Well, I think the kuleana is on you now to halawai to Alohe Alo, Honi, you know, share a meal together and really, you know, Pilina, just get really close with family there. I think it's really important.
I understand. Okay.
I have a question. This is quick.
No, mahalo for letting me enjoy my croissant first.
Yeah, well, I have a question for Karma. Is you said that grave is what TMK are we talking about? Is this the one, the TMK 008? Is
yes,
this grave site?
Yes.
And how big is that? How big is that TMK?
I think it's.
You're talking about the
It's like 0.0.
Oh, okay.
0.0 something feet.
Okay, okay.
I want to say it's like 40 feet by 40 feet or something like that.
And the owner is. Is it still the same guy?
Yeah, his name is on it, but he has long passed, and even his daughter has passed away. She is the one who I spoke to back in early 2000s.
Okay.
She has since passed away, and then her daughter Frances Austria was taking care of it. But my understanding, when we were last up there in 2021, we spoke to her husband, Mr. Austria, and she was in a nursing home. So she may have passed away since also.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, Trayvon, you want to bring up a motion to combine these two?
Yeah, just so it's officially on the minutes and stuff. I'm going to make a motion to combine business item A and B into a single item.
A second.
All right, any discussions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Okay. Thank you very much, Karma and Carter. Congratulations.
Mahalo.
Keep it going.
Uncle Scott.
We've got to officially...
Can we make the second motion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We got to do one more.
Got a question.
I'll make a motion to approve recognition of Karma M. Sanchez Garcia and Carter K. Lai as lineal descendants to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at Papa Ahupua, South Kona District, at the reference TMK.
Second.
It's been moved by Lau to accept the applications of lineal descendants for Carter K. Lai and Karma M. Sanchez Garcia as lineal descendants. Any discussion then? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Thank you very much, Karma and Carter.
Thank you to all of you. All right. Thank you for the recommendations.
Yeah.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, moving on to item C. The ascendancy recognition application of Destri K. Punihaole to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, Shifty number 50-10-18-31392, located at Hikawa Point, Kekaha Kai State Park, Kukio 1, Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK. Parentheses 3-7-2-006:009. Where is Destri? Is she here?
Lana Kila.
Uncle, he said he would come on if he could. So I'm assuming he couldn't come online.
Okay.
Seven, nine, one.
Do we want to, is it important to everybody that we hear from this descendant? How do we feel about proceeding? And Kea, can you maybe outline the application?
I think Chris processes the application. He just wanted info on his how we came to a determination.
I think just usually, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong with everyone else, we like to hear from them and we like to see them, but I just want to feel out how everyone feels about that. If it's a technical issue, you know, whatever reason Destry wasn't able to make it.
Do you know why he wants to be recognized as a cultural descendant? What's his relationship?
So his dad and his grandpa were
interned missing?
No, they were consultants in the past for that area. He was also a descendant for next door, one of the burials for Makalabena.
So is he a descendant of previously recognized descendants?
No, his grandpa them weren't. I tried looking for theirs for this area. I couldn't find it. He didn't know if they were. So, but the family is consulted with for the park. So I told him if that he should just come forward and do his descendancy that way, because I think I'm not sure if they passed on, the dad and the grandpa. So
but as far as hold on, Chris, as far as the requirements that satisfied the Shifty part of him being designated as cultural, that was satisfied, right?
Yes.
You.
Was the applicant seeking to be recognized as lineal, or they're aware that
he knew he couldn't because the remains were unidentified?
So is this just for cultural?
Cultural.
Yeah. Okay.
So nothing wrong with cultural descendants.
I think even though he's not here, with his ohana having history in that area, and I do think it's important that maybe we, even without him being here, not table this and make a determination.
I agree.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, anyone want to make a motion to accept Destry Pune Haole as a cultural descendant?
I will motion to approve the descendancy recognition application of Destry K. Pune Haole to the unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at the TMK reference in Ke Kahakai State Park, Ahupua'a of Kūkiʻo in North Pune District.
I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved by Lau to accept the Destry Pune Haole as cultural descendant, and second by Desmond. In the discussion?
Yeah, there was just a correction on the reading of the TMK. It's parent 37-2-016. You said 0016 : 009. I want to make that correction, Mr. Chair.
I'm surprised you heard that eating your croissant over there, but yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
The jam in your ear.
We need to have the record clear.
Okay,
Boy.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Raise your
hand.
Aye. Ayes have it. This year has been recognized as a cultural descendant. Hope he understands the responsibilities that go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving on to item D, discussion of Hawaii Island Borough Council roles and responsibilities, information and discussion. Before we bring up the communication part, I I gotta remind, when Hawaii Island Burial Council meeting as of November 17, 2005 meeting, oral testimony for items listed on the agenda is limited to 3 minutes per person per agenda item. So, but let's bring up Keiki. You wanna start this thing off? You say what you gotta say. Don't worry.
Hello, Scott. This is Keone Kalave.
Hello, Keone.
I want to bring up some discussion on the Kumukahi burials and the burial treatment plan. But I think we need to go in
executive session
to talk about this issue.
Okay, we can do that. How do we go into executive session?
I'll make a motion to go into executive session so we can have privacy for number five, communications, item A.
I'll second.
Yeah. Should we set a sale plan before we go into executive session? Or we can just go into executive session?
We're going to discuss specific burial sites. That's why we want an executive session.
Is there anybody currently present that would have to leave for us to go into executive session?
I don't see anybody. Angela was here earlier.
Regardless of whether someone's here present, it's recorded, and so it would be public. And so for us to protect that, we would need to go into executive session.
I understand that. So we just need to turn off the recording, though, right? Nobody has to leave?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Lamakila can stay. It's our kupuna from Kumukahi.
Okay, we had a motion to go into executive session by Kalena and seconded by Traven. So let's go then. What? Sorry, Kalena, what?
Do we vote?
We did not vote.
We need to vote.
Oh, just okay.
For formal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any discussion on that?
No.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
All those in favor of vote aye?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Okay.
That's scary.
Should we want to start from the beginning so that is yes. The record?
All right. So, you know, our concern is that we want to seal our burial treatment plan and also our genealogy and also maps or anything that would disclose the site itself. Yeah.
So at the February 19, 2023 meeting, the HIBC voted to recommend acceptance of the burial treatment plan. Shifty concurred and accepted the plan. So since then, we actually have a fully complete burial site component of a preservation plan for the sites at Kumukahi. Since that time, more recently, there has been requests coming in for access to the burial treatment plan. And because of the sensitive nature of the information that's in there, I have not released a copy of this plan to anyone other than the lineal descendants, which are two people. Kiore Kalave and Keiki Aloha Kekipi, and the landowner, which at this time is the University of Hawaii. So those are the only two or three parties that have access to this document right now. It is a little bit concerning that people are requesting this kind of information without ever having to disclose what the intent is or anything of that nature. So, I know the descendants have expressed strong desire to have these documents made confidential along with their genealogies and any maps or anything else that would disclose the information about any of the burial sites at Kumukahi.
Go ahead, La.
So to clarify, Uncle Keone, do you want an adapted version of the burial treatment plan that, you kind of pull out all of this sensitive information so that there's a a public version and a private version, or do you want the entire BTP private?
Yes, the entire private.
Okay.
Deal.
Thank you.
Question. Do you know by chance who's coming forward asking for it or who they represent?
I don't know who they represent. I know who these, or at least one of the individuals are. They contacted me directly and the landowner. What we have provided to them is the Shifty acceptance letter, just letting them know that there is an accepted burial treatment plan, but no copy of the actual UTP was ever provided to them. I don't know what their intents are.
Okay. I really want to know one other part about access to sensitive records shall be allowed by written consent of the council where the shifty needs to review the record to protect the burial site from harm, notify known lineal and cultural descendants of the harm, or evaluate the ethnicity and significance of burial sites located nearby. That's yeah, I can see that, but you know, I think this thing says that in order to anybody to open it, we need written consent and we need all the parties involved. You know, right now, and I think it's really important to notify the lineal descendants right now. I mean, later if anybody else wants to become part of a cultural descendant or another lineal descendant. So that's an important point too. I think just to secure your position on your burial treatment plan. That's the way I feel anyway. Good luck.
I think on our end, Kea, are we just providing kind of whether we support or do not support so that you can make, okay, awesome. I see Kalena's head moving.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was nodding about something else. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So I guess what I'm understanding is that as burial council members, we have the ability to just on the record state that we support the request of Kiki Aloha and Kione to
so what you guys know, what you guys would be doing is you guys have the ability to deem records sensitive, and if it's sensitive, then it restricts those records from
being disseminated
from the public disclosure requirements of section 92F12 HRS, which is that government records are public.
Okay. I don't have a lot of questions at all, honestly, because for myself, if the descendants say that this is something that they want, and if Loke, who has been supporting them from the archaeological firm in the development of this BTP, also expresses that it's a concern, I feel that for myself, at least as a council member, it's our responsibility to support that. So if everybody else is comfortable, I'm ready for a motion to determine the BTP as sensitive. I don't know if anyone has any other discussion.
I got one thing about, and that's why I brought this up, is like future lineal descendants or cultural descendants that come in after and apply for those sites, you know, will they have access to the burial treatment plan itself, the one that Keone and Keiki started? That's a concern because, you know, right now the everything is cool because there's only two lineal descendants connected to those graves, but anybody else can jump in along the way. So I was wondering if they could be at least notified if other people are applying for stuff like that. And that question goes to Kea.
I can ask that.
Go ahead, Keiki, you can talk.
So my understanding is get the process to be recognized as a cultural lineal descendant. And then they give all that information, the burial records, marriage records, church records, and they submit that to KRM. KRM go through the process, and then they check them out, the genealogy and whatever records. And then they decide with the records and information they get whether to submit to the burial council for the recommendation of cultural or lineal descendant. And then they usually go to Hinano
then, and he gave that final recommendation back to them to recommend to the council. So nobody really have to go and technically look with the information. But those people that coming in after, they go through the same process. They got to send him in the genealogical records and other stuff to verify, just like anybody else. They're going to come in at cultural or linear. That's the records that everybody got to treat. So that then no limit them on coming in and making one claim to the barrel. That's just that verify. Even to us, we're going to be more happy because, like you said, only get two of us. So when the other guys come in, then, okay, good, we get more. If we need more with our family, we're going to see who's peeling with us. And that's going to verify, too, why we can share with them the records. Because then we're going to know who we're sharing them with, not just somebody requesting for get some other information that they can go write books or go doing tours and go disappearing or whatever.
Thank you for that, Kiki. Just looking at her hand up.
I just wanted to add to the way the burial treatment plan is written, and all burial treatment plans that I prepare recognizes existing lineal and cultural descendants and future lineal and cultural descendants. So it, you know, I think making it confidential in this context does not prevent future lineal or cultural descendants from coming forward and being able to access the information as part of their genealogical ties to this place.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a good point that Kiki brought up, because, you know, maybe you too should start getting family members as lineal, because you guys are not going to be around forever. You know what I mean? That they got to keep passing. Somebody got to have Malama. So, yeah, that's a good point, Kiki. Thanks. So, and
we've crossed this bridge before, that we want to protect our Ivi Kupuna. So not only the current,
right,
but make sure that our Kupuna in training knows about this and are identified. I think we had one case where they had all of their children present, and we brought all, one baby was, I think, only 2 years old, I think, Kalena, and we brought them in. So now the warriors of Kumukahi gets to grow. But it's a good point, and thank you, Kiki, but that answers all of my question, and I'm ready to second Law's motion.
I would maybe to formalize that motion, Kale, let me know if I word it correctly or if I need to change the wording. I'll motion to classify the burial treatment plan for Kumukahi Kulahupua'a Puna District, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 1-4-002:092, as sensitive.
Yeah.
And confidential. Do we have to add confidential in there?
No, that is, no. If it's sensitive,
that means
it becomes confidential.
So, again, have something after that.
Wait, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Now we have discussion. Now you can ask something.
This burial treatment plan was adopted and accepted into the process. The other thing we like know, Kioni and myself, is when does the thing get recorded at the burial conveyance? And this is what, and I'm going to explain that to you, the chairman, because when we did the burial treatment plan, we located with the UH. That plan was approved with that land owner, that specific land owner. So once the thing be recorded at the Bureau of Conveyance, no matter if the chancellor change or the regents change, that burial treatment plan recorded at the Bureau of Conveyance is what holds them up to the plan that was already approved by the council. No matter who changed the position, That when once recorded at the Bureau of Conveyance, that goes with the property for no matter who changed administratively. That's what they have for.
Well, that kuleana going to the owner, right? Not to the council. The kuleana to register with the Bureau of Conveyance.
That goes with the department, Mr. Chair.
That goes with the department.
So that's actually what the law says, that it's the responsibility of SHPD to do that sort of stuff. But from everything that I've seen in terms of burial treatment plan, that onus has actually been put on the landowner. So, and the university agreed to have that done as part of the burial treatment plan. So it's either something we can follow up with UH to, you know, initiate and encourage them to get that discussion rolling and to get that part of the plan started. Yeah. So,
Okay. Well, thank you.
No, great. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're covering all, dotting all the I's and everything, because you forgot to dot that I, and we're back at square one. Okay, so we had a motion from La to,
I was muted when I seconded, but I think somebody else said second.
Yeah, Trayvon already beat you.
Trayvon. Stay in your lane, bro.
So can you state your motion again, La?
I motion to classify the burial treatment plan for Kumukahi Kula'akua'a Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, (3), (1-4-002:092) as sensitive.
And okay. That was a motion by La and second by Trayvon. Any discussion? Okay, call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Desmond, say it.
Aye. Aye.
Mahalo, Council.
Ayes have it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, looks hungry.
With that pass, I do have this kind of raises a concern for me about all BTPs that are passed, because there's sensitive information in every single BTP we pass. And I was under the assumption that these are already sensitive once we pass them. And so moving forward, is that something that, I think we should bring that up to whoever is passing the BTPs and the Ohana involved, because I don't think a lot of people are aware that this stuff could be open to anybody, especially with those that are trying to protect their genealogy. Or is it something that we automatically deem everything sensitive, every BTP, because there is sensitive information in there, whether it's burial locations or genealogy?
I think this is the first
time. Hold on, Desmond.
Uncle Des, you go ahead, and then I'll go after you.
I think this is the first time that it came across when I was being on the council, so that, you know, sensitive information. I don't think it's our duty to share that. I think it's up to Shifty to share that. But, you know, I think I've never experienced this before where people are trying to infiltrate and, you know, and we're here to protect our Iwi Kupuna and the lineal descendants. So this is this is a new request for me personally to get into this and understand it fully now that, you know, our duty as members of the EV of the Borough Council. Was I muted?
You guys look. You was getting all broke up.
Okay.
The one thing I would so. It is definitely a controversial topic, and I completely understand the concern. I think part of it really comes down to trusting Shifty, trusting our archaeology, you know, we can't always, right? But Loke's coming in and letting us know that this is a concern to her as well. But there are situations where if these BTPs are made sensitive immediately and there are no descendants, the person who has access to that BTP is the landowner, and sometimes that's a developer. And if they have the ability to prevent community from seeing those BTPs, we're also actually blocking out unrecognized descendants who have who need to develop Pilina with place, who need to get recognized. So it's kind of, you know, it goes in both directions, because some of these BTP that are older, no descendants were recognized at the time. So we kind of have to tackle them one by one, and it sometimes, you know, is very scary. But I think we're coming into a better space in our communities where we can have these things are happening where we have descendants and archaeological firms coming together and saying, yeah, we don't think people should be able to look at this. But I worry that if we were to, you know, deem everything sensitive immediate, or if that was automatic, then we're actually, sometimes it's to the detriment of community. And that comes back down to trust, which we're still building, because not everybody can be trusted. Burial council members couldn't always be trusted, you know? So that one's, I don't know that I would go in either. I think both make me nervous.
I agree too. I think this is case by case, you know, we cannot leave out the people that's coming down the road. You know, they're going to enter the whole picture for every burial treatment plan. They all different. They all got different concerns and stuff. But you know, it's a matter of trusting the homework done by Keiki and Keone and Loke and even the council. I think we can take that one on one. I really don't want to get into trying to regulate all these burial treatment plans, you know, by setting up on a specific rule that these are all sensitive, because. But this situation, like Desmond said,
case by case is rare.
Yeah.
There you go. Can I tell Mr. Chan?
Good.
Okay.
Of course.
So, guys, had an EIS come out, I'll give you an example. Had an EIS come out for ENO development, 525 acres, that is Ahalanui, Laipo, and Puala. Okay, when the EIS came out, they put them in all of the public libraries. Inside, they had specific sites, burial sites, and names, and all the people, the landowners, the mahele, and all these things inside of that book. Yeah? But as soon as I just came on the council, never have rules. But I was here for the adoption of the 277. That's why I had all this friction out there in Hokulea and all of that. So, when I seen the book and had a couple different volumes, I went and talked to them, the guy that was, Mark Smith, was the archaeologist that was running the Hilo office. And I explained to him, and the council then, which was Auntie Pele Hanua, Auntie Ulu, all of those councils, that, look at the book. What they're giving them is a roadmap to go inside there and rob the place. Basically, you give them everything, the transacting lines, how to find them. One little treasure map that was up statewide in all of the libraries now. Talk about public information. So somebody gotta go back. Look, because that only stopped the precedent of not sealing it. But each individual person, when they say something, that's why it's held in confidence. That's why when you guys go in executive session, that's the purpose of that. Then the thing sealed, because the person, like you said, is limited to who has access. Anybody like claim, that's why that process of how you get recognized cultural lineal, they're gonna go before you guys. And it's not blocking them from their own genealogy. That bring them, provide you guys with that. But when the book that had all that information, the ANO development, the Matsuura, when go there, when I told Mark Smith, I said, you know, Mark Smith, I'm gonna have to go and fight this. The state, I gotta get something, because what you're literally doing is what you're not supposed to be doing. See? And they've been paid big bucks, but they went sue each other. The company went sue the archaeology firm, Kennedy, and then they went change to Rosenthal. Because even in that stuff was too much information for give anybody. And we was literally getting robbed. We was getting robbed. I was after what's the whole the other Elis are walking through the really bad. I saw him through the stuff that when I first encountered that to today, they still know I respect that guys like me. Tell them, look, this is my Kupuna's barrel. They come over there, the cops, say, look, till today, they're still doing the same thing. I saw him include that. But that's the scenario. That's why I'm telling you how sensitive the information and the way they look at them. Is just put them on a shelf. Anybody can pull them out. For guys like firms like the Loki Rim, they kind of bonded. They're not just go giving a stamp. But that's why our insurance as the descendant recognized is to ask you if they're gonna give that kind of information out. his president said to seal them. And that was distributing all of the public libraries. They were going to lose some place, get one copy. In fact, you guys' office get the copies.
Good, Connie.
I have a question. You know, since our information is sensitive, do we contact the UH and notify them that the our barrier treatment plan is sensitive, so they shouldn't release it to just anybody?
So we gotta come to you to verify that.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask that same along those lines. Does SHPD provide a written document that officially states that the BTP is has this this unique status on it?
This is a really good learning curve for us because we have two lineal descendants who's very, very active, in protecting the Ivy Kupuna. So like case by case. So just to answer Chavin's concern and just all of our concerns. So this is a precedent on how to really, they set in a template how to really take care of the Ivy Kupuna and the Mo'oku Auau and our generations to come. And, I get goosebumps, listening to you two guys and the work you've done. And to be very active, as people come on as lineal descendants, okay, thank you, bye, and you never see them again. But they've been here for a long time. And it is a case by case. And our duty to protect our Ivy Kupuna and their lineal descendants, I think, is paramount to what we do here. And I just mahalo these two guys.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Kale, what was your reply to Loke and Keone?
I think we can write a letter. I think if something was made sensitive during its original passing in the letter, I would have added in, an acceptance letter says that a BTP was moved to be accepted by SHPD. After that, I think I would have written, the council also voted to deem the record sensitive. And so that would have went out to the landowner. I don't know how that impacts the landowner because, I don't think the administrative rules are, or that particular administrative rule is a, what would you call it? I don't know how to describe.
It's technically not listed as one of our.
The reason it applies to SHPD is because we're a government agency, and all of our records are public. So by making it sensitive, that restricts SHPD from giving out the record. In this case, the landowner is UH. So as a state agency, their records are also public. But I don't know how this holds for the landowners themselves. I'm not sure how this would hold for the landowner themselves because I think had it been a private non-government landowner.
Can you seek the answer to that question with the AG office?
Yeah.
And get back to us on that.
Yeah, I just want to say that.
On both sides, whether it's a state agency like UH or if it is.
Isn't the minute adequate enough?
Yeah, you all broke it up. There's where you all broke a separate letter. Okay, good. Should I say it again? This is all broken up. Say it again.
Is that better now?
Yeah.
Isn't the minutes of today's meeting adequate enough to have to go submit a separate letter? I mean, you just mentioned government and state agencies. So for me, my thinking, the minutes is adequate enough.
No. Yeah,
did you get that?
Go ahead, La.
I have two things. The first thing being that, I think a formal letter is good. I think before we submit a formal letter, consulting with our AG is important. That's the first thing. Second thing, can we please request again? I know that there's been some changes and we've had a lot of transitions. Can we please have, I'm requesting, and I don't know if I need to make a motion for this or not, but I'm requesting that the AG start to attend these meetings, because we should be able to ask our AG right now and have this answered right now. And I completely understand that there was a shift and there's tons of reasons why that has not been happening. I would like to request, Kea, if you can please submit some sort of, whether through phone call or email, request to our AG to begin attending these meetings again. It is a requirement. And I think we could have answered this question right now, and then sought out with our AG how we move forward so that we can support our descendants and Loke. And not having that answer right now means that they have to come back to us again, or that they have to, you know, follow up with us. And I think it would be really good if our AG can be here for these conversations. I don't know if I need to motion that or if you can just do that for us.
Yeah, I'll let them know.
My main concern with not making, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll just make.
Well,
yeah, it's a requirement. So
I think you gotta, like, I really think you gotta put your foot down, okay, and try and see if they do show up for our meetings. You know, we're running into all, just today alone, we're running into technical questions that we're trying to answer, you know, and we cannot. You know, we need the kind Desmond's brother Capone to come back and do that. No, but anyway,
and you're muted.
Is filling the seats. Where are we with that?
Wait.
Oh, never mind. I'll get that on. Yeah, I'll get it off track.
I think the minutes are adequate enough.
I have a thought, though, that's related to this. I'm not a deep thinking person. I'm just thinking about, I respect the confidentiality of the BTP and the reasons behind it, but I'm concerned. The reason why we have BTPs is to also alert and trigger when development's happening. That is in place to protect the burials. So if it is sealed and confidential, what is to stop any development from occurring and desecrating the burials? I'm just curious, because I see why we need it, but also at the same time, I'm wondering, well, what happens if somebody comes in and they're like, well, we never saw it. It was confidential. I didn't even know there were burials there. And
the landowner should be required to have access, though, Auntie. The landowner and the descendants are always going to have access. And then it's still a legal document that SHPD has access to. So they hold the landowner accountable. But then again, it falls on SHPD to hold them accountable when they begin development. It'll still trigger all the permitting and that whole process. It'll still trigger consultation with descendants. It'll still trigger it. It'll still function.
Okay.
Just like she said,
that was my worry.
So that's like she said, when they go to the county to do development, the only thing come to this process is when somebody going to apply for doing grading or government permit over 1 acre. Mm-hmm. When that, then it's trigger supposed to show up in the county. But that on this site, this TMK, that these sites, these protected sites, then can get on the map. No, gotta check with SHPD, because SHPD will input the archaeological features of burials. Supposed to be at the county. If everything work right, stop at the county.
Okay.
And big, the big thing, I think that's why I was saying I'm a little concerned with immediately making them confidential, because the biggest issue that I could see happening is if there are no descendants. So then only the landowner and SHPD are involved. And that's where we want to make sure that we are not making these things confidential unless the descendants who are already in place and recognized are requesting it. Mm-hmm. Because then we're ensuring that their eyes are on the projects that happen. Because if we like allow a landowner to come in and say, I want this to be confidential, or we make it automatically confidential without having any descendants in place, I think that would make me nervous. Because then, you know, no, then it's really just between SHPD and the landowner. Not to say that SHPD does or does not make the best decisions when left to their discussions with landowners, but to say that that descendant voice is not involved if we do that immediately. But if we, if the descendants come to us and say, hey, this BTP, we want you to accept it, but we want it to be sensitive, then we can. That's the, it was like the one thing I thought about, you know, because Travin made a really good point, but then I was like, well, if there's no descendants, you know, that's the scary part.
That's really good, Manam. Mm-hmm. But the thing about that is, it's actually the law supposed to be in favor, and the Bar Council is actually the advocate for the descendants, because the landowner always get the option of going develop or not, or settle land without even doing an ARC survey. That's why when get archaeological features and stay registered, that's why it's supposed to stop at the county level. But when it doesn't, when development going on, somebody see them, they're going to trigger somebody for running with it and say, hey, stop, get on barrel. Now they can get involved in the process. You know, that's how the thing works now. But when get things available, that same process that the ship when adapt is how to recognize the cultural and lineal descendant kick in. Because once come that part, that's what I mean about the Pilina part and the Pili, because then you can tell, oh, you know what, these guys, you get anybody else that when referring to this barrel, can I have their number so I can contact them? Because we're going to share our genealogy and we all are Ohana, see? And then they can go give them the plan and says, mahalo, you guys the next generation, next millennium? Yeah, this is you show the genealogy, you register with them, we cool with each other. Yeah, because you accepting the whole Juliana, not just the right? That's why this process is done. That's why every time we'll come to one different, it isn't case by case, but that's why I get a council. Yeah, because it's not just solid law. You gotta use now, you gotta use EK, even with the genealogy. You know, I get person from each individual district. Because just like when one project come out, you get a few mine out that, and they're gonna do the road. Who more familiar with the area than the people in the district? Now this team will come for the development, and they're talking about a long stretch. Is Keone and us tell them, you know what? Get dangers that you guys not even looking that is really critical that could take loss of life. You can cross over this road when you go Mackenzie, go on tube running underneath, you do rest there. And the thing running across the road diagonally, but they didn't go over there prior to whatever and collapse the side in the park. Boom. That's no address the bulldozer, 60,000 pounds crashing through the roof of the lava tube. So see, we go there and we tell FEMA, you know what? Accounting not listening, but since you now and open up the process for input, yeah, we let you check out this. Yeah? And if they don't believe, we gotta go to OHA because they're not gonna like this. They don't believe. We go get Halliday, the guy from the Speleological Society, because he get PhD and everything. And we give FEMA a copy, plus give him one picture, photograph, picture. When bulldozer collapsed to the ground. Now,
Kiki, hold on, The purpose of the meeting was already resolved to you guys' satisfaction. You know, and like I said, we can meet later on, Kiki, and you know, you can bring up all that stuff and see how we can proceed that way. But
mahalo.
Yeah, right now I think we're getting off track.
Mahalo.
So thank yeah, you. And oh no, mahalo for you, Manao. You and Keone, great, and Loki. So with that saying, and what else I say something to Keone, you look like you want to say one more last one.
Yes,
I didn't mean it.
Give like one scenario, okay. With the genealogy, okay? So just imagine now, somebody comes out of nowhere and they try and proclaim our genealogy because they're trying to get grant monies under the guise of being one recognized lineal descendant.
Right.
Right? And they also receive the money. So what happened to this person who actually claims to be a lineal descendant and he's not even listed? So that's the reason why we want to actually, you know, our genealogy is actually sealed. So we don't need nobody actually hijacking our genealogy. That's one of the concerns. Yes.
Okay. And that's why they submit them to the council and they check the genealogy before they give them to you guys.
Yeah.
To verify that is the person they claim to be.
Yeah. So that's all I want to add. And mahalo for you guys, understanding, you know, the importance of our genealogy and also our iwi kupuna. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody happy now?
No, I was hoping to meet in Kona so Kea take us to Teshima's, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on now. The agenda items are all Kona. We could have been eating good right now.
Really? The old days.
Imagine the money the state saved because of COVID.
Okay, I'm gonna need an incentive one of these days. I'm gonna be too hungry to get through these. Come on.
Does anyone want to move to adjourn?
I will make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Wait. I second.
Oh, he beat Trevin. Right on. Okay, the next meeting will be October, whenever.
November 16th.
Oh, November 16th. Yeah.
Okay, we got to vote.
All right. Mahalo, everybody. And,
we gotta vote.
Oh, we gotta vote. Okay, vote. Oh. Let me say hi.
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 Yeah, that's hi. Okay. See you guys later.
All right. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. I was seeing. Okay. Because of the opposition all over.